preaching, and he stood there. I don't know how long. He just stood there for quite a while. And he looked, and he said the words I always say. Technology is great when it works right, but when it don't, it sure is aggravating, isn't it? So, amen. And that's right. I don't know what we... How did we do it before this?
Well, mine's kind of hoarse today, though.
Well,
I didn't say I was a horse.
But you are a little.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Well, it's good to be back with you folks. I've been a long time since I've been here. Not that I didn't want to be. I just had been a while. And we've been on the mission field almost 50 years, if I make it to January 25th. I came here when y'all was meeting in the little white church over there, back yonder, before this one was ever built. And that's how long y'all been supporting me. I'd say somewhere around 35, 40 years, something like that. And we appreciate it. Appreciate y'all being faithful. I've been trying to hold up my end of the bargain down south of the border. And the Lord's been good to us. My wife has passed on to be with the Lord 4 years ago. My wife, my boys and girls all married. Yesterday was helping the wedding of one of my grandsons. And so we just got one more left to get married. And so... And then they start on the grapes, I guess, huh? Amen. We got a couple of grapes, got a great son and a great daughter. All the rest of them been boys. And one girl coming along the line now. I hadn't seen her yet, but I mean, she's up there somewhere in Tennessee. We'll get around that sometime down the road, maybe. Amen. Well, it's good to be back. Yeah, we're still on the mission field. Keep right on keeping on doing what we're supposed to do. So for the sake of time today, rather than tell all about the work and then preach too, I'm going to do both at the same time. How about that? Sometimes I have they're called UBS, USBs, I guess. I don't know what technology stuff. I come long before that. We put the pictures on and show the pictures while I preach, and that way you can see and hear too, yeah, man. Can you chew gum walk at the same time? Some folks can, yeah. I'll tell you. But anyway, I come back from the day. How many have been in the Brush Arbor meeting? Hey, I mean, all you done was just open up and let it fly wide open out there. I prayed last Brush Arbor. I prayed Sam was down in South Carolina preaching by, he scheduled a meeting, never did call me. He sent me a letter, but don't send no letter to Mexico. It takes about 3 months to get there. And my daughter, she lived in South Carolina at the time. She called me and said, you preaching a revival for a brother, homecoming all for Brother Mecklen over there in Gaston, South Carolina. I said, not that I know of. Well, he's announcing on the radio. I said, well, okay. So he announced on the radio. So I called him. I said, hey, buddy, you got me scheduled for a meeting? He said, sure have. I sent you a letter. I got it when I got back home. And I went over there and preached for him and had it preached in the church on Sunday and had it wasn't a brush arbor because it was raining. And they didn't get time to put no brush on it. It had plastic over it, amen? And I preached over there. I had a good time in those kind of meetings. You don't have no microphones in them things, not back in those days. You just let it rip. And I'm a little on the horse side this morning, but I preached in these kind of buildings without a microphone many, many times in my day. Preached in the church one time, Brother Steve, over, why not too far from here? Back over the other side of Trenton somewhere, back over yonder on the mountain. And I gonna show slides, and it had about 10 windows on both sides, no curtains. And I said, preacher, I said, hey, I don't think we're going to be able to see those slides with all these light. And he said, well, just preach until it gets dark. I let her rip about an hour or so. It ain't changed a bit. Sun's still up. I said, brother, we're just going to stop and show the slides anyhow. And some of them you won't be able to see. Now, I got some now a little bit better quality. Back then, when you put them in a little machine, you know, you punch a button and make it flip from one to the other. Oh, that's back here in the day, boy. That's back here in the 70s, amen. All right, turn your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. I didn't say tobacco now. Habakkuk. That's over there in the Old Testament, over next to John, you know. No, it's over in the middle of the Old Testament. And I'm going to preach on a thought this morning called This Is My Watch. You know, every one of us, it doesn't matter whether you're a pastor, missionary, or just a Joe sitting on the pew. You got something God wants you to do. Amen? Amen. And God got something for you to do. That's your watch. Amen. Every one of us got a responsibility in the things of the Lord. I'm glad I got saved when I was about 11 years old. When I was 15, I started teaching the kids class, little class, and they put me in the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Finally, I was teaching the adults, and God called me to preach. I've been preaching ever since. And so that's the way it goes. So Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. If you want to stand up and stretch your bones a minute, because I'm going to be about 15, 20, no, I'll be in a while. Get up and stand up if you want to. And then I go over and look in 1 Corinthians as well. It's the verse where it goes along with this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 and through 16. These two passages go together. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. I will stand upon my watch. Didn't say your watch. Said my watch. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now, that's a good thought right there. I ain't going to preach on that one. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quiet ye like me and be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and they have addicted themselves. Now, this is not marijuana, cocaine, and all that. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That is, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth and labors this that morning. God bless you. Thank you. And we'll pray and go into the message. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word applied to our hearts. Lead us in your path this morning. We'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I've only preached once before I got here in English in a while. And it takes me two or three services to get back into English. Because if you speak Spanish, you got to turn your mind around backwards. You know, everything's spoken backwards. And I still, when I come up here, after I'm down yonder a while, and I'm there more than I am here, so it kind of gets twisted up in my little Mississippi brain. That man got me messed up sometime. I used to wonder why Henry Kissinger couldn't say nothing, but I figured out he knew eight languages fluently, and he spoke three or four of them every day. I said, no wonder he got a problem. I'd realize it now. I have that problem with just two of them up there. We're going to notice a thought today. This is my watch. You know, every person got something they're supposed to do for God. And God just so happened to call me to be a missionary. Called me to preach first, then called me to be a missionary. I was a building contractor. Everything started young with me. I'm the youngest of 14 kids, and we worked. I had to pay the bills at the house when I was 15. And so everything started young. And so I hired on with a guy, another contractor when I was 17. And when I came 20, I quit working for him, started for myself. Had my own construction business at 20 year old. And my brother and I did, and he's still going with it. He's a little older than I am. He said he's going to try to make 80 year old out of it, and he's going to quit. But he likes it about two or three years so far. And so we got something to do. But that wasn't what God wanted me. That's what I wanted to do. See, God got a different plan. And somebody said, well, I don't know anything about that. Well, you don't have to know anything about it. All you got to do is just ask what God says, and God will take care of you. I had a preacher who told me up in West Virginia when I first started back in 1975. He said, you just need to go back and start building houses again. I said, what do you mean? He said, you ain't got no degrees and all this. I said, I got a lot of it. I have a temperature every once in a while. You know, and he just need it, and that's what the fact was. I now have two of those degrees. It's like putting whipped cream on an onion, you know. I got two of those doctor's degrees now, but you can smear whipped cream on an onion, still an onion, you know. You smear what you want to on me, all of them titles, still, I'm still just Tom Beard, amen. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Be yourself, amen. A preacher told me that when I first started, I hadn't been out much from North Mississippi. We were just around there in the general area, and I preached maybe a few times, and I go out, and on deputation, I come back to back around, I said, brother, I said, you know, every Baptist ain't alike, you know. I said, all these people don't believe like we do. He said, well, just be yourself, Brother Tom. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them at all. Just preach and be yourself. He said, they'll catch on some of it, amen. And I speak fast for Mississippi, boy. Most Mississippians talk real slow, you know, like they do over in Alabama. But no, I speak real fast. And somebody said, preacher, how come you speak so fast? I said, I eat fast, too. He said, well, why do you do that? I said, I'm the 14th child. If you didn't eat fast, you didn't get anything to eat. The rest of them eat it up. And so if you got anything to say, you had to say it fast, too. So I just got in the habit of it from the time I was a kid. So that's just the way it is. I should be Spanish fast, too. And so that's a mess when you get that going in there. All right, this is my watch. Two things. I mean, five things. Four things I want to show you. The Bible says here, we're supposed to be addicted to the ministry of the church. Now, that's a job that we got to do. God called me to be a missionary, and I started out doing it. I've learned a lot of things. I've learned some things you're supposed to do, and I learned some things you shouldn't do. And that's the process of learning, amen? And so I am to preach. That's the main call God called me to do, is to preach the word. And the Bible says preach whether they like it or don't like it, amen? And I preached on a few that didn't like it. I've had someone throw a rock at me if they had any. And I've had them get up and leave. And I've had them to get in and help me a little bit. So if you'll be the helping crowd, we'll preach a little bit. Amen. And so I want to preach the word of God. He told Paul told Timothy when he was fixing to go off, you know, he knew he was fixing to be out of pocket and go on home, you know. He said, preach the word. Preach the word. It's not too interesting what you learned at school. I'm not interested in that. I got some of that stuff, but I'm not going to use that. I'm just an old country boy, a cotton-picking preacher, amen? And so I'm just going to preach the word and just get out there and let it rip, amen? And that's what we're supposed to do. The word, if you preach it, it'll get people saved, amen? We're giving a day and time now. Everybody wants to computerize everything. You know, I don't even know how to work them things half the time. And I've been using the kind of use that GPS junk, and that's about the... I got my mind twisted on it, I mean. I'm an old Rand McNally guy. And I got off down here, the preacher gave me the instruction. I wind up down here somewhere. And I said, this don't look right. So I drag out that little computer thing over here, and I punch it in that on that Waze. That Waze is better than Google, in case you wonder. And it got me right here. And it's just like he told me, but I got twisted up down there in town. He told me, turn here, turn there, turn here. Tell me I got on the wrong street. But I got here, amen. And I got to get from here to Dalton. I'll punch it in there and see if it'll get me over there. Don't I find 75, I'll find it. Amen. And so, I'm to preach the word of God. Bible said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:18, it's all about preaching the word of God and how we're supposed to go out there. You never got anybody saved by programs. Amen. And we live in this modern day, and they're getting into it in Mexico. And I tell them, preacher, I said, you get that junk out of your head. You just preach your book, honey. I said, it'll work. Well, I had a missionary a while back. He's been a missionary about as long as I am. I was in a meeting down where he was in charge, and he gets up and he said, well, said, fellas, we go out to change our way of doing things. I said, what's he going to say? And he got in there telling about how he was going, we need to modernize. I ain't going to modernize nothing, honey. I'm going to preach the book. And that way, hey, worked all these years, why should I quit change, amen? I got 25 churches that we've helped start down in Mexico. So if 25 churches can be started by preaching the word, why can't we keep on doing it? Yes, sir. Amen. I picked cotton with two hands to come to cotton pickers, come in the field, made a mess out of it. I mean, if you picked any cotton back when you was a young day, you better not be anything but brown behind you. Now, them cotton pickers, they don't leave much, but it looks like you left a lot. Man, we can get a whipping for that stuff. And my dad died when I was young, but my brother took over, and he said, no dirt in the cotton in any way. You don't drop it. If you drop it on the ground, you shake it off, put it in your sack. Don't pick up an old dirty stud. And he said, don't let it drop. And don't put no burrs in there either. And man, if you want a good whipping, you put some trash in that cotton and when you want to dump it in the trailer. You wish you hadn't. I'm telling you so. Somebody said, that's child abuse. I went to the field when I was 5 years old. And daylight. Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Eat breakfast fine, go to the field, work the day until the sun went down. So, man, that's child abuse. Well, I don't feel abused about anything. The way we treat kids nowadays, to me, is child abuse, okay? That's another message. I said, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse number 18, is what it said. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. You saved this morning? Amen. For us which are saved, it is the power of God. Preaching of the word, amen. Not programs. And I'm not against some of the stuff, you know, but don't get me wrong. But it's the preaching of the word that gets people saved by God's grace. And if I preach what you wanted to hear, it ain't going to help you none. We're going to have to preach, and Brother Steve, I never heard him preach, but I hope and pray he preaches the book, amen. Preach the word. And somebody said, well, they don't like it. Well, it's all right. They'll get used to it. I mean, I learned to eat a lot of things when they put on the table. Mama said, you eat to do that. I couldn't say I didn't like it, but not say I didn't like it. And you see what was there. And the answer to that, folks, is to get those kids out there working all day long. They'll eat whatever you put on the table. That's key. I guarantee you, you work them 12 hours a day like you work me. It didn't care what it was. It could be possum and taters. It didn't matter. We eat that stuff. Amen. And be proud of it. Broccoli, green beans, black-eyed peas. It'll make you hungry, won't it? Amen. And all that good stuff. And so the Word, do the job if we preach the Word of God. We need to preach the Word. And the lost is saved by faith. Go to the book of Peter if you want to go over there. I ain't going to take time to read all these passages. Some of them I'll just hit them and go. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And look what it said. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. It said about being born again. Thank God we're born again. Amen. If you ain't ever been born again, you ain't going to heaven, honey. I'm telling you. I was born on December the 2nd, 14th child of my family, the last one too. And I weighed 11 pounds and 12 ounces. And I'm a big old boy. And I got up to be a big boy for that. I got born in the flesh. But now the Bible's talking here about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By what? By programs? It said, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I've been preaching 50 years. I probably preach anywhere from how many? I preach anywhere from 6 to 8 times a week on the mission field, every week of every year, and that's a lot of sermons. But the Word is still the same. It ain't changing, honey child. Don't get you one of them newfangled Bibles. Throw it up in the garbage. Get you an old King James. Just stay with it, honey. It'll work. It worked for 50 years for me. It's going to keep on working. I was sitting there when that missionary made that statement about we got to change. I said, you can change your own, honey, but I ain't changing. What he won't do, he won't change so he can get a big crowd. I'm not against a big crowd. I like church full. Amen. We had a camp meeting last week at a church in Montemurillo, Mexico, and we had the building full every night, but just about full in the morning. And I got one over I'm working with right now. Don't have a pastor. Man messed it up and left me one lady, just one lady. But it's been about 20 years ago now, and I had to go back and start that thing over. It ain't quite been 20, it's been several years. And I started back. I had one lady. She said, you going to close up? I said, no, ma'am. Me and the wife's coming. If you won't come, we come. No, we're just being her. We're going to build her back up. Well, we're running about 75, 80 now. It takes a while. It takes longer to restart one than it does to start one. Amen. All that old bad mouthing out there, all that gossip and all that backbiting and junk gets out there in the community. You can forget it, honey. They're just about to tear you up. Anyway, we just stay with the stuff. God's still in charge. Amen. I have set up on my watch and preached the Word of God, and I'm going to do so. Lost is saved by the preaching of the Word over in 1 Corinthians. See, it's said by the preaching of the cross. Now, I'd preach on any subject in the Bible. And I don't know too much about none of them, but I preach a little bit on all of them. But I can preach on any subject, you know. But the thing about it is, the main important thing is the gospel of Christ. Thank God. I go out into a village sometime. And ain't nobody out there that some of them, most of them never heard about Christ. I was talking to a man, 114-year-old one time, never heard about Jesus, didn't know who he was. I was a politician. And I said, I got to talk to him, and the lady in the village we was in, first time we was there, didn't know what they knew and what they didn't know. Couldn't find out they never had a preacher in there. That's been back in the 70s when I was done that. And we said, well, she said, I knew there was a higher power somewhere. So we kind of curious, how you know that? Well, it's common sense, you know. I see the sun in the daytime. I see the moon at night. I see the stars. I see the clouds coming. I see the rain. It gets cold. It gets hot. I said, somebody's got to be in charge of all that. I said, yes, ma'am. His name is God. And God takes care. So I have people out there in the village still somehow. I still go some places sometimes. It takes a four-wheel drive to get to. And sometimes you have to walk to get to them. But I'm telling you, still people need to be saved by the grace of God. Preach the Word and got people get saved by the grace of God. And so then next thing, I am to win souls. I ain't going to ask for a raise of hands on this one because it'd be embarrassing to you. If I said how many, everyone in by the Lord, you might not, you know. No, don't do none of that stuff. Amen. Preach the Word and win souls. That's what I'm supposed to do. Back when I started, back in 1975, I've been a day or two back, I had on my prayer card. It's not kind of like the one I got now. I got a different kind. I got modern, man. I got a colored one. See there? All the colored one. And back then, they thing black and white, except for me. And it was a little narrow card, about like a bookmarker card. About like this one right here I got here. This is old Sammy Allen thing. I'll pick that up somewhere. It's about that size. And I had on the upside, on one side, I said, my aim, win souls, build churches, teach the Word of God. That's 50 years ago. Guess what my aims are? Win souls, build churches, and teach the Word of God. It doesn't change, honey. It's the same. If it's right then, it's still right now. And that's what we're supposed to do. And so we'll give you one of those cards, you know. I'll sell you one for a dollar. Church with that. It's crazy. Missionaries in the military would get charging for a card. I never heard no such thing. Somebody said, you got a card? He said, well, I got one for a dollar. I said, I have one for a dollar. And he was charging for a dollar for a card. And I eased around to him over and I said, man, what are you doing? He said, well, I got to get some gas money somewhere. I said, you ain't going to get none here because these ain't going to buy no cards. Your mother was going down the road. And the pastor asked me, I said, what was he doing? I said, he's selling his cards. I ain't never so. Hey, matter of fact, the company that makes these give them to me free. Amen. Don't cost me nothing. Just cause all I got to do is send out what I want and they get it to me free. So free give, receive, free give. Amen. So I ain't going to give out no charge, no card. But anyway, that's the one if you want when I give you one later. And so I have to win souls. Amen. Go and look for the lost. You're not going to find them sitting at the house watching Captain Kangaroo. Anybody know what Captain Kangaroo is? That's an old thing. I don't know what y'all watch nowadays on TV. I don't watch much TV. I don't have time. But anyway, we sat there and watch TV. You don't get nobody saved doing that. And I'm not against you watching TV. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one of them kind of preachers. I'm about to say, one guy, he took his out there and shot it with a shotgun. I said, I sold the thing and got a little money out of it. And you know, and it wasn't long, he had another one. I said, well, you just wasted your money. You shot your TV, now you got another. That's another story. Ain't going to preach on that. And so I'm to win souls, go and look for the lost. You can't, I'm raised on the farm, Brother Steve. You ever picked any cotton? No, you ever picked any cotton? Anybody ever picked any cotton? Why, y'all young folk. That one guy said he picked some. That lady always said, don't be ashamed, brother. He doesn't be ashamed of picking cotton. And buddy, I said one time I was sitting on the porch. I'm just a kid boy, and I'm sitting there on the porch. And Mama said, go out there in the shed and get them cotton sacks out. Said, bring them over here. I got to check if we got any rat holes chewed in them. And the field about far from here, that guy sitting right there, out there. And I'm looking at that field. It's white. My back went to hurting. If you ever pick much cotton, you know what I'm talking about. But I just sat right there and watch that field. Folks, you can sit right here and watch this Chickamauga go to hell. Or you can get up and go out in the field and win some of them. So I'm sitting there looking at that field. And man, I'm just a boy, you know, 8, 9, 10 year old. And I said, man, that's a lot of work out there. And I've been doing it since I was 5. So I knew a little bit about it. But you know, I sat there and I said, you know, I wish that cotton would get in that trailer so we could haul it again. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I'd sit here, cross my arm. I said, well, that old boy lives in that household yonder. Maybe he'll come to church here one of these days. He ain't coming. You got to go and get him. And that cotton, you know, you go out there and you get that sack. I started out one about that long when I was 5 years old. 2 or 3 years, I had one of them 9-footers, you know. And if it had one longer, they gave you that probably. And picking that cotton, you know. And you get it picked one bowl at a time. And once in a while, because I'm just a kid boy, I couldn't hardly get 2 bowls. By the time I got 12, 13-year-old when I finally got out of the cotton pack, my hand, pretty good size hand in. Right now, I might get 3 bowls at a time. But I can get 2 bowls at a time. But most of the time, people get saved one at a time. And you take, we pick 200 or 300 pound cotton a day. I picked with a black woman one time. And the field with her, she had one arm. That's all she had. It wasn't cut off right there. And she getting 400 every day. I said, how in the world does she do that? I got 2 good hands. I'm 13 years old. Sure, I can pick more than I'm doing. So I got 2 rows up beside her. And she got, she didn't get no further than from here to that microphone in front of me. And I said, she didn't have to weigh up, though. Her boy come got her sack. And at the end of the day, she picked 412 pounds. I got 265. I can't remember her name now. I called her by name. I said, you stole some of my cotton. No, said Mr. Tommy, I didn't get none of your cotton. I said, you had to get some of my cotton. I'm right beside you. You had two rows. I got two rows, and the old yonder done been picked. You had to get some of my cotton. Because you couldn't get 175 pounds more than I got. You know what I'm saying? And anyway, she could pick that cotton. I've never seen anybody pick cotton like that in my life. And I was 13, because the time my brother that was older now that raised us after dad died, he could pick 400 a day, but I couldn't get that much. 265, that was my limit that one day. I had a war heart. I was just 13-year-old boy. And I got it one time. And so we find here we got to get out there in the field to get them in. Fields are white on the harvest, it says on the book of Matthew, doesn't it? Field are white on the harvest. And they're white. I come by some fields the other day, just as white as they be. I said, of course, first thing my back goes, get, you know, tight. You know, if you ever work in the field, you know what I'm talking about. And just thinking about it. But I said, man, every one of them bulls out there represents a soul in this world. I'm not a big sports fan for going to the stadiums and paying to see them. One time my son up in Knoxville, I was coming across the country, man, and his mama was, and he calls, where you at, Daddy? I said, I'm somewhere around Nashville, somewhere, coming in the other direction. He lives in Knoxville. He said, well, hurry up and get here, so we're going to the ball game. Yeah, I said, one of the men in the church got some tickets to watch the college ball with Tennessee playing Arkansas, I believe it was. He said, we're going to go. I ain't never been to no stadium like that. I went to a small little high school stadium down in Mississippi. So I get there, and I wasn't there 30 minutes. We jump in the car, and here we head over to the ballpark. Had to walk 10 miles, it looked like, to get there. Then we got there. Got in that crazy thing, and we got our seats was way up yonder. Time I get up there, and then Paul Press come out there. I said, where did he get them ain't at? You couldn't say, tell nothing. That's all I better watch it on TV, ain't it? I mean, they pulled that thing right up there where you see it, amen? And I'm up there, and that's a little bit the announcer got on there telling about how many they had. He said, well, we've got a good day. We've got a stadium full. So we've got 103,000 here today. I said, where's that microphone here? Be fine with the microphone. I could preach a while, you mean? If I could sneak through and go, well, I would have, too. And I said, hey, I can get a hold of that microphone. I can tell these folks I can, too. And they need to get saved, amen? Can you imagine? Now there's some saved folks there, because I was there. I know at least one was saved. And my son, I think he was saved. My grandsons and the other guys with us, and probably a bunch of others. But what I'm saying is, you got to get in the field to do anything. You can't get them sitting at the house. You got to get out there and knock doors. That's why we go to church. I got church Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, and twice on Sunday. And that's every week of the year. Monday night, sometimes we have a special service for that one, too, just so we don't get lazy, amen. And so we got church every day. That's why I am to win souls, and then I'm to start churches. I'm talking about mission work. Now, I'm to start churches. That's my ministry, amen. That's why you people support me, to go down there and to win people to Christ and build churches. That's what it's all about, ain't it? And then them churches turn around and build other churches. We got several of our churches. I got one preacher that preaches speaks eight times on Sunday. He got two works going. He does Sunday school and preaching in one church. Goes up the mountain about 40 minutes and does the same thing up there. Comes back down and preaches at the church in town. He goes back up there and he's preaching eight times a Sunday. Preaching and teaching. I mean, he's a young fellow. I'm 75 years old. I don't know if I can hold up with that. I do pretty good at most of it, but that's a lot of preaching. But he does it. Got one church running about 250, 300, and the other running about 150. And when I carried him down there, I unloaded him and his wife just got married. I married him and ordained him, and we sent him down there. I carried him down there, carried what little furniture he had, put it in a little stick building you could throw a cat through the wall, and that's all it had. And it had a block building somebody else had built there and didn't work, and we started a church right there. 6 months later, he had 60 folk. Year lady had 100 and something. And I go down there every Christmas time, and I know I get extra kids come out and stuff when I'm there to pass out Christmas gifts. That's why I'm up here this time of the year. I pick up Christmas shoebox gifts, and I carry a big old trailer full every year down there, and I go out and pass them out to the churches. And I had one time down there a couple years back. Church is not as big as this one. The building's nice. Probably seat 100 and I'd say maybe 120 most in the building. We had them all the way out here to the street. We had 100 and something kids upstairs. We had 80 young people somewhere else. It was a crowd full. We had about 600 people showed up. And to hear the preaching, I didn't have 600 gifts. Because I don't give gifts to everybody, just to the kids. And we start kind of up to about 11, maybe 11, 12-year-old. And then if we got anything left, we'll give somebody else. But that's just the way it is. And we do that every year, have for several years now. It's getting to be a pretty good ordeal. But I'm starting the morning. I'm supposed to be in Hiram, Georgia, to pick up about 120 gifts, starting in the morning, to fit in that back truck out there, shoebox gift. And it part of it. And so then we'll get, I got a bunch more to get down the road. And so we'll start churches. And the process of these 50 years, I've had a hand. I'm not there doing all the work all the time, and 25 churches. And some of them, I was the preacher. I locked the doors. I preached it, and doing others, I helped the others. I go in and teach them how to do it, and preach and show them, and instruct them, and first one thing to another. And 25 churches, and I ministered in 50 years. And that's not nothing just flips love at you, know what I mean? 25 churches in the ministry. You start from zero, open field, side of the street. Church at Monte Morella is where I live now. We started on the side of the street. Met for about 6 months on the side of the street. Of course, you have to be in Mexico, the subdivision is a little different than out here. That house, from here is one man's house, and this is another house, and this is another house. They bought a wall. And so we met well, this one guy lived. He still goes to church. Right across there was a drop-off. So he didn't have no house on that side of the street. They had a little old tree there. And I met another little tree for about 6 months. In Montem Rivers. That was back in 80 and 84, early part of 85. And then I rented a little building over on the side of the road. Had two sections to it. The preacher was helping me lived in the back. And we had church in the front. We stayed there about 4 years. Bought a piece of land across Old Crosshair Ways back in 89. And then we started building the building, building sections. So I'm a builder. I draw my own plans and do everything. And I knew what I was going, what the finished part was supposed to be like, and I just started. We met in the first section. They got a basement, and we built the basement. And then we got the porter floor on top of that. We met in the basement for about 2 years while we were building the rest of it. We got to raise funds for it. People up here help out some, talk about people down there, give some, and we build buildings. And that's how we got done. I got one, we're just finishing up, about 15 minutes from where I live, another town. It'll seat 250, about the size of y'all, maybe a little bit bigger. It's 73 feet long and 32 and a half feet wide. And down there, houses to house, wall to wall, so. We had another church there that was seated about 75, 80. We were getting that many people, so we said, we've got to build, you know. The standard rule is when you get 75, 80%, you build. Don't you're going to lose what you got. And most preachers understand that, some don't, but that's the way it works. And so we started churches and trying to get them going. And then another thing we do, this is personal, my personal, I am to finish my course. God didn't save you to sit on a pew all your life. If you're saved, God got something for you to do. Now, you say, well, God didn't call me a preacher. Well, hey, I wasn't a preacher before God called me a preacher, but I worked in the church from the time I can remember. I got saved at age 11 and 13 on. I done stuff around. Pastor got up one Sunday in the little church I was at, we're going to, and he said, we had a hard time getting anybody to cut the grass. Well, about this time, he didn't know that was my job, cutting grass. I said, I'll cut the grass. Went on there about a year or so, and pretty good up one morning. Said, we're having a hard time getting anybody to clean the church. Did anybody want to clean the church? Ever look about like y'all? I said, preacher, I'll clean the church. He said, Tommy, you already cut the grass. I'll clean the church too. I can do it all the same day. 13-year-old boy. And from then to now, I ain't stopped. Amen. Taught Sunday school, teach, build buildings. And because I'm a contractor of a trade and built buildings and all that. I wasn't even 13, but I was the time I was 20. And what I'm saying, it's something you can do. If you can't do anything, physically can't do anything else. One of the best Christians I've ever known was a good old sister lady named Gertrude. We call her Mama Gertie. I mean, she was in her 90s. Mama Gertie never missed churches. She got where she couldn't come. But she won more people to the Lord than all the rest of the church did. Well, how'd she do it? Well, Mama Gertie, her husband had bought a bunch of rental houses. By this time, Mama Gertie was by herself. When the people come by, pay rent. And she knew the name and the address because she owned the house, you know. And she talked to them about the Lord. And then about every 2 weeks or so, the preacher and I would go by and check on Mama Gertie because she couldn't physically get out and come to church. She's 96 or something. And she'd been in church a long time, but she got where she couldn't come. And so we'd go by and say, "Well, Mama Gertie, how you doing?" And she'd be fine. And she'd go, just a minute, brother. Priced her. I wasn't a preacher then. I'll just help her. She'd come out that little piece of paper about our cat. She'd have a name on both sides of it. She said, "I've been talking to these folk right here. Reckon y'all go by and see them?" And we took her list, brother. And we didn't have to go get nobody else. She kept us in a list of people to see. And most of those people that we talked to got saved and got in church. Amen. Who won them to the Lord? She did. Right. We just reaped the harvest. We didn't sow any seed. The seed's already been sowed, honey. And she done sit there and she prayed for them. And she couldn't get out physically and do anything anymore. She couldn't hardly get around. But, I mean, she lived to be almost 100. And I said, "Mama Gertie, appreciate it. We go win people." So she was the greatest soul winner I ever met, I guess. And she went a lot of people to the Lord by talking to them. She gets some of them say, "Well, they made a decision the other day. So you go by and check them out, see if they got saved." We go by and check them out. Some of them hadn't gotten saved. Some of them didn't have a clue what they're talking about. But we went to the Lord. We built a church on her witness, just about it. And so we can do that here too, amen. And I don't know much about the area here. I have a hard time finding a place when I come. But I come in here and I'll be gone in a little bit, find my way out here, get over yonder to Dalton, Georgia in a little while, and find my place over there. I don't know where I'd get to there yet, but I get there. I know about where it is. Been there, they've been supporting me a long time too. And so that's the way it works. We are to win the people of the Lord. And I want to finish my course. I want to finish out like I started. Paul said, I want to finish my course. I don't want you to finish my course. I want to finish my course. Now, I don't know when my course is going to end. And I'm not no dummy. I'm 75. And it ain't going to last forever. Okay? So I got some guys coming along behind me down in Mexico. I got one young boy been with me since he's 4 years old. He's now 40-something. He's taking over when I'm up here. And I said, "Brother, you may be like a Timothy. One of these days, old Tom Beard's going to be gone. And the day I die, who's going to take over?" His name is called George. Horky Salceta. George. I said, "George, it'll be you at this point. Don't have nobody else." So I've been trying to train him, teach him all these years. Good preacher, doing a good job. And can sing, pick and sing, advise and sing, kids can sing. I mean, I can't do none of that picking and singing stuff, but I preach and teach. But see, the thing about it is, you've got to have somebody ready. It may be you. What's your watch this morning? What are you doing? You know, before I could ever do anything for the Lord, I had to get saved. And one of those cotton fields, that same field I was talking about when I was sitting on that porch looking at it. One day we was out there cutting out cuckleburs. You ever know what cuckleburs are? And you don't leave your mind, buddy. If you're out there picking cotton, you get in them cuckleburs, your fingers are going to be bleeding, buddy. And don't let ever let one get under the strap. How they get under, I don't know. But they'll get there. So we go out there. Cotton was already opening up. It's back in Mississippi. I'm from Batesville, Mississippi area, down about an hour south of Memphis. In that area, we pick our cotton last of August, first September. We always made two pickings. We pick it once, and then come back and let it reopen and pick the rest of it. So we did it by hand. We didn't have no machines. Done by hand. It was early 60s. One day, we was out there cutting them cuckleburs out. Guy gets out of the car out there in a suit. nothing about no suit folks, you know, but here they come. He come out there in the field. And it's four of us boys and one girl. He said, I'm Brother Smith Wynn, the pastor over at the Eland Baptist Church, little church over in the country, not too far from us. So we have vacation Bible school next week. I'd like to know if y'all like to go. Well, sure, we won't go. But we can't say we were going to go. My generation, we didn't know how to do anything unless we were told. And we didn't have permission. We better not be doing that. So we told you, see the little brick side of the house right down there? That little, looked like shingle, but it made for the side of the house. Say, go down and talk to Mama. If Mama said we can go, we'll go. Anything get us out of that field of cotton at 100 degrees. We didn't have a clue what we're going to do. Didn't have a clue what vacation Bible school was. But that old preacher, I said, old preacher, about my age, I'm still young. So my hair ain't started growing yet. But anyway, I was out. He come out there and invited us to vacation Bible school. He goes down there, and Mama comes out on the porch, and they're talking. Dad had been dead for several years. My brother was in charge of us, and somewhere else working on something over there. He come back by, rolled his way. He had an air-conditioned car, boy, 1960. He worked for Shibboleth place, though. He rolled his window down. He said, she said y'all could go. Boy, we rest of the day, we just as happy as we can be. Don't know what we're going to do. But we're going to get out of this cotton patch for a while. That was just nothing to shout about, wasn't it, man? We ever worked in the cotton patch, they like dark, you understand what I'm talking about. So we went over vacation about it. He came and picked us up. And come on, pick us up and carried us over to church. And there's a lady taught the class I was in, because I wasn't a 9, 10-year-old. And she got up there and she said, we're gonna learn the books of the Bible. And they gave me a Bible. Said, look over in the front of it. There's a list over in the front. And I turned over there and man, I said, yeah, there's a list right there. And I turned over there and found that little list and she said, we're gonna see who can win on Friday. We're gonna see who can say all them in order. On Friday I won. I ain't never been to church in my life hardly that I know of. But I was interested, you know. I learned them books of the Bible. I still get Ephesians and Galatians twisted from time. And she said, about the second, third lesson, we're going to do Bible drill. I said, well, what in the world is that? So she taught her what Bible drilling was. Well, I got into Bible today. I won that too. I ain't never been to church in another week, I'm telling you now, except maybe once or twice. But it sounded interesting. I thought, this is about better than going to that cotton patch. Amen, honey child. I learned that bit of that. And that old preacher lived for a long time, and about 2 or 3 months before he died, I happened to be in the country. I was in Mexico by this time, and went by to see him. Went by, a couple of my brothers went with me that got saved under his ministry. I started going to Vacation Bible School in August of 1960. I got saved April 1961, and so we went by to see him, and I said, Brother Wyndham, your ministry's still going. That's my ministry, but it's his ministry. My watch can become your watch. Your watch can become somebody else's watch down the road. That's what Paul said in Timothy. My responsibility one day will fall on you. Then yours will fall on somebody else. So old Brother Smith Wyndham lived to be about 90-something. Laying in the bed, couldn't get up. He was almost gone, but he's still conscious. And my brothers and want to thank him too. They got saved in his ministry, too, that went with me. And we prayed for him. And I said, Brother, your ministry, as long as I'm still going, will still live on. And then, let me tell you something else. I don't know what all I'm going to do. But those that get saved behind me, it's going to be on your ticket, too. And, you know, I believe God's got a watch for every one of us. And I want to try to finish my course. I'm 75, been Missionville almost 50 years. And people offer me all the time, when are you going to retire? I said, well, I'm retarded. No, Mississippi, retired. Well, I'm not retired. I'm tarred. And I got retarded. I was tarred yesterday, and I'm tarred today, so I'm retarded. Amen. I said, I don't know what you're talking about retiring. I ain't found that in the scripture nowhere. I'm not against people that retire. Don't get me wrong. I said, I want to finish my course preaching. My son said, I'm going to get run over by 18-wheeler. How he knows that, maybe God done told him something. But I hope when he hits me hard, get over it quick. I like to just be preaching. I know two or three preachers die right after preached. Wouldn't it be nice to, I can't go? I don't want to lay in bed and suffer and somebody can't come and wait on me. That's just not my thing. But God knows. I don't have a clue how you're going to do it. I said, Lord, if you let me choose how, just take me just like that. Get me out of here. When it comes your turn, I'm not ready. But when you get ready, amen, I want to finish my course.
Yes, sir.
I want to be steadfast. I want to be faithful, instant, unmovable, always abounding in the things of God.
Amen.
What about you this morning?
Yep.
Let me tell you something. You can't finish your course until you start one. If you're not saved this morning, you ain't started yet. Today could be your starting day.
Amen.
50 years down the road, you stand and tell somebody, I've been at it 50 years. I've been saved more than 50 years. I've been missing it 50 years. I've been saved 60. Because it's saved 1961. Count that up. It's got to start somewhere. I tell my folk in Mexico, the people I preach to, and that's a different culture, different thinking. Everything's backwards. Language is backwards. What they do is backwards. And I had to learn that. I battled with it after 50 years. My mind still wants to go this way, and it says go that way. And battle that language thing. But I'm not perfect in it. I'm not perfect in English. I speak Mississippi English. Amen. You're close enough to Mississippi, you're about the same way. And but down in Mexico, it's not the same. You change areas down there. I went up north. I wonder, actually, north. They're up in Maryland. Would that be north to you? Would Maryland be north? They don't think so. I go up there and I was preaching in church and I didn't say anything about, I didn't use the word Yankee at all. I just said, this is the first time I've been this far north. Anything north of Kentucky is north. Amen. And next time I went back up there and preached, church helped me for years and years and years. I think they changed pastor and other preachers didn't know me, cut me off. That happens a lot of times. And the preacher, the same guy I went back up last time, and he said, brother, said, we glad to have you come back by. I said, man, first thing, this is what I like. He told me, he said, listen, I called him. I said, brother, I'm going to come by the church again. He said, well, that's a long ways to come. He said, you don't have to come up here. So we'll keep supporting you. Kind of like you folk. I ain't been here in years, but y'all keep that. But I like that. That's what it takes to get a team on the field. Just do what you say. You do your job, I do mine. And so he said, we kind of like that Mississippi English you got. Said, up here, it's different up here. He's from Connecticut or somewhere. And he said, just don't call my folk Yankees. I said, I ain't never been guilty of that. I said, it might be. He said, oh, no. So we're south of the Mason-Dixon, about 50, 60 miles north of them. They still south. And anything north of Tennessee, Kentucky, me north. I've been all the way up in Illinois, Wyoming, to Canada, and all that. That's north up there. And you see how I talk. I got up out there to get the tar fixed one time. And I was talking to the guy that run the place. He wasn't very nice. He wasn't no conversationist for sure. No one of the customers come over and said, hey, I can tell you where you from. I said, well, I know where I'm from. Well, let me talk. Hey, he said, you from Mississippi. You heard what I said? Mississippi. How y'all say it? Mississippi? Well, that's that old fancy way. It's Mississippi over our way. And he said, I know because I heard you talking. That's where you're from. I said, well, I speak Spanish with Mississippi accent. Sure. They get it. We want a lot of people to Lord. Be a lot of churches. One preacher said, I know real well, he's come down and helped me interpret a lot when meetings and stuff. He told the preacher, he said, "I don't understand you fellas." He said, "Brother Beard speaks Mississippi with, a Spanish from Mississippi accent." Said, "Sometimes we don't understand all the words he's saying." He said, "But he's a bit more church than all of us put together." It's not me. It's the Lord. Let's all stand. Let's all stand and have an invitation. Got to start somewhere. If you're not saved, that could be the day. April the 9th, 1961. Sunday morning, that same old preacher that come out in that field by me to church. Priest, and I got under conviction. Went to the altar and got saved by the grace of God. That's where it all started. That was in 61, 1975, January 25th. I surrendered to mission field. I surrendered to preaching September the 7th, 1973. But in 1975, I had to call to go to mission field. I've been there ever since. And my plan is to stay there until the Lord comes. Or so he takes me home. He may change the plan. If he told me to go to Japan tomorrow, I don't want to go to Japan. I just want to go to Mexico. But if he changed my plan, then I follow whatever he tells me.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing for the Lord? If you're saved, what are you doing? What are you doing in your church?